the handouts if you want to. I'll hold one of them. Thanks. Well, it's really, really good to be with you today. It's always wonderful to be among pioneers. Because if you want to plant a church, you just need something of a pioneer spirit. I know that very well because we had the privilege of planting a church some 26 years ago. So yeah, a little bit about me before I present on some of the mission works. I came into the OPC in 1995, and prior to that, my church involvement was primarily Bible church. So I grew up in the Bible church. I went to Grace Seminary, Winona Lake, Indiana, which is basically a school similar to Dallas Theological Seminary. So I grew up in dispensationalism and was trained in dispensationalism. But through the years, I became more covenantal, and so that culminated, as I said, in 1995, coming into the OPC, and it was in that year that we began a mission work in Joliet, New Lenox. So I began that mission work and pastored that work then. We became a particular church in 1995, so I pastored that church for 26 years. I retired last December, semi-retired, and began, our checks committee of the Presbytery called me to serve as regional home missionary of the Presbytery. So what I do, of course, is I go around and I encourage the planting of churches. I've enjoyed a close and immediate connection with our church planters. We have six mission works presently in our Presbytery. But I've enjoyed an immediate connection with these brothers. They know I understand them. They know I understand what they're doing, and we all have a heart for the same thing, which is to establish a church which is confessional and gospel-driven and reformed, and will last beyond 20 years. We think generationally. If you're reformed, you learn to think covenantally. And you learn to think generationally, which is to say you learn to think in the long term. And so that's our endeavor. As church planters, that's your endeavor as a now established church, and you're seeking to be more established and seek the Lord to grow you and bless you. So again, it's a comfort to my own heart to be among pioneers. I realize you're out of the church planting stage, but you're still seeking to see the church established. So my wife Sue is with me here, my better half. She really keeps me in line. Was I supposed to say that? We have five grown children. We have 10 grandchildren, all of which are walking with Christ and are in the church. My third son is now an elder at New Covenant in Joliet. One of my sons-in-law is a deacon there. But all of our kids love the Lord and their spouses, and we have wonderful fellowship every Lord's Day. So what a blessing. So home mission works. As I said, I'm the regional home missionary for the whole presbytery. I should say now, I'm the regional home missionary for two presbyteries because, you know, we just divided. We divided north and south at our last presbytery meeting, and that had been in the works for quite a while. So now there's the presbytery of Wisconsin, Minnesota to the north, which consists of, yes, Wisconsin and Minnesota. And then there's the, you'd say, the ongoing presbytery of the Midwest. We're actually supposed to be the new presbytery, but presbytery of the Midwest, which consists of Illinois, and Missouri, and Kansas, at least half of Kansas, Iowa. What am I leaving out, Bruce?
The eastern half of Nebraska.
Oh, just the eastern half of Nebraska. So, yeah, it's a big area to cover, so there's a lot of work to do. And as I said, it's our hope to see a solidly reformed, covenantal, gospel-driven congregations established, which is no small work. It takes a lot of work to establish a church. It takes kindred spirits who care about the same things. As I said, it takes a long-term vision. We're interested in establishing a church that lasts across the years. So you need to be very careful about the foundation that you lay. And of course, as the apostles said, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now that sounds very simple, doesn't it? And it is in one respect, but to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring robust gospel preaching, Christ-centered preaching, to see the saints built up, and to see the church added to. Now, I included, if you look at the brochure, I included on the front of it, of course, what we're all familiar with, the Great Commission. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Now, I should have been able to quote that by memory, but it's in the ESV here, and I'm used to it in the New King James Version. So, there you have it. Well, why is this so important? I mean, it's so fundamental. Everybody knows the Great Commission, right? But oftentimes the church loses sight of what it's supposed to be doing. And the heart of the Great Commission is making disciples. Of course, going out, evangelizing, yes. Bringing the gospel to those who need to hear it. Bringing the gospel to those who perhaps have never heard it in clarity or with clarity. Bringing that gospel and seeing men and women and boys and girls brought into the kingdom. And then you can say the work has just begun, and it's an ongoing, it's a lifelong work then. It's making disciples. Now, what's the important point just now? At least this. It's not merely gathering a crowd, right? It's not putting on a show. It's rather easy to put on a show, though generally the world does it better than the church does, but it's rather easy to put on a show and get people in. And we realize some of the motivation for that with respect to the way some churches do things. They want to get people in. They want to preach the gospel. That's a noble idea. It's a very important idea. If, in fact, they actually preach the gospel when the crowd gathers, that's the other question, I suppose. But it's rather easy to gather a group of people. There are ways to do that. And think about Paul in his ministry. And if he really wanted to gather a crowd, what would he have done? Or what could he have done? We could have started a drama troupe. Because theater was wildly popular in the first century Roman world. Wildly popular. That's a way you could gather a crowd. We're going to have our own drama troupe. And we're going to present, we're going to give gospel presentations via the theater. All right? And you could gather a crowd that way. But that's not what Paul did, is it? He could have done it. Maybe there was some pressure to do it. Who knows? And there are all kinds of pressures today to see the church established in various ways that might be impressive to the world. But the only means that Jesus Christ has ever used to establish his church are the means of grace. Preaching of the word. I mean, this sounds so old-fashioned, doesn't it? Preaching of the word, administration of the sacraments, and prayer, the means of grace that the Spirit of Christ uses to do that work in the hearts of men that only he can do. And the church, in various ways and across the years, of course, can lose its way with respect to what we should be doing. Now, here at Wentzville, I mean, if you really want to be impressive, you could do things a few different ways, right? Get your... Where's the drama troupe here? Where's your screen? Don't you have to have a screen here? And when I preach, or when Pastor Bringy preaches, I mean, doesn't he need to bring a PowerPoint presentation? Because we all know, I mean, the tech industry certainly knows this, that the way to hold a crowd is you speak for about 18 minutes, And he used PowerPoint. If you want to really communicate in our day and age, that's how you do it. And of course, you don a black t-shirt, and you better be buff, and you better be cool if you want to captivate a crowd, all right? That's the way it's done in the world. But that is not how Jesus Christ builds his church. It's never been the way that he builds his church. So call us old-fashioned. You can call us anything you want. Jesus Christ said, go make disciples of all the nations. And it comes via preaching the gospel. So as the gospel is preached with clarity, we believe this is the means and the only means the Spirit of God has ever used to change a heart. I trust you're all convinced of that. Frankly, I don't know why you'd be gathered in a place like this if you weren't, right? I mean, this is rather unimpressive, huh? I understand. We met in a community center for 19 and a half years. I understand. My kids set up and tore down, well, I shouldn't say tear down, they took down, right? Their whole life. Why do we do this? We do it because we're committed to what Jesus Christ has commanded. And we believe, as I said a moment ago, we believe that the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ, is the only way any heart is ever changed. We're going to see that this morning in the sermon from John 20, how it's Jesus Christ alone who ministers to his people. It's Jesus Christ alone who can address the unbelief of his own people. It's Jesus Christ alone who can address the anxieties of his people. So we want a ministry that's Christ-centered, don't we? I know you believe that. We want a ministry that centers in the means of grace. I know you believe that. So I'm preaching to the choir, which is always a beautiful thing. Everybody would affirm, in Christendom pretty much would affirm the importance of the Great Commission, yes? Everybody would. But how easy it is for the church to lose its way. And the enemy is always trying to take us away from the means of grace. What I mean when I say that is a robust trust in the means of grace. Another way to put it, a robust trust in God's every declaration as true. A robust trust in that. Now, this is what we believe. And it's a wonderful faith. It's a wonderful trust. And God delights to answer our prayers. So, very simple thing. Great Commission, yeah? But to make Christ followers is a lifelong process. So every Lord's Day we gather, don't we? Every Lord's Day we gather and we do the same thing. I don't have my Bible up here. We open the same book. It's printed here. We open the same book. Your pastor really says the same thing every week. I mean, come on. The world looks on and they say, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Every Sunday? And evenings too? I mean, is this like a punishment of some sort? Why do you do this? And we're going to talk about it more in the sermon this morning, but the short of it is we know why we do it. Because Christ calls us to it. And because we are his followers. And we understand being his followers, his disciples who say Christ worshipers, Christ followers. This is a lifelong endeavor. You notice this. We'll be growing in Christ our whole life long until glory. And we want our children and our grandchildren to be brought to Christ. And we want to see them walking with the Lord. And we know, I mean, of course, think of the unrest in our culture today, widespread. If our children, our grandchildren are walking with Christ, you know what? They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll be cared for. They'll be strong. They'll have challenges, to be sure. But they'll be fine. So, this is our endeavor in church planning. You can say, well, Pastor Hollister, that's what every church does, right? Yes, it's what every church is supposed to be doing. It's what Covenant Family wants to be doing, giving attention to the Great Commission, having Christ preached week in and week out, and we wait upon him to do the work in hearts which only he can do. So let me say a little bit about the mission works, and feel free, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. But I have what are presently our six mission works in our presbytery, and yeah, they extend all the way up from Minneapolis area all the way down to West Plains, Missouri, the border of Arkansas. It's a big area, and we really want to see more mission work. So I'd encourage you as a congregation to pray about planning another church, all right, even as you think about these things. Oh, well, you say, we're not very big. How can we plant a church? Oh, it's been done. Now, this isn't a difficult thing for the Lord to do. So I encourage you to pray about that. Anyway, right now there's six mission works. And let me start with in the center there, in the middle center, Oshkosh. I mentioned them first, Bob and Grace Holda in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I mentioned them first because at our recent meeting of Presbytery, their particularization was approved. So they had been a mission work for a few years and became established and were ready to particularize, which is to say they'd reached that stage in terms of their development where they were self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing. So they have two elders. Great arrangement the way the Lord did it in this case. It was the Appleton, the OPC Church in Appleton, which planted the church in Oshkosh. And there were a number of families that traveled up that would travel up from Oshkosh to Appleton previous to this. And so a number of families, they prayed together to determine to begin a church in Oshkosh. And two of the elders from Appleton are now serving. We're going to have that service. Actually, we're going to have that service of recognition and installation of the officers and pastor. We're going to have that this coming week. So I'll be in Oshkosh on Friday, and we'll have that service of recognition and installation. So pretty soon they won't be on our brochure. It's kind of sad. They won't be on our brochure anymore. They're not on mission work anymore. But I highlight it because it's a wonderful encouragement to all of us of the Lord's working. As I mentioned, I pastored New Covenant Church in Joliet for 26 years. I remember very well the day after one worship service that I engaged Bob Holda at the door as he was leaving, and at that time he was teaching in a school, or actually house parents in a special sort of special school. And I said to Bob Holda, I think you should consider seriously gospel ministry. And he did. And he went to Mid-America Seminary, got some training, wonderfully gifted fellow, got some training, and now he's been the pastor up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And now they're particularized church. And go online sometime, listen to him preach. He's quite a good preacher. So it was a great delight to see Bob and Grace Holda. Great delight to see Bob blossom in terms of his gifts. And grow in Christ, very gifted fellow. And we praise the Lord for what he's doing in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'll go next to more down your way, West Plains, Missouri. Paul and Sarah Morreale. This is a mission work that's going very well. We anticipate that they'll be able to particularize probably this coming spring. They'll probably be ready to particularize. They have a one man, basically, who served as an OP elder is basically serving as an elder right now. Another brother who's in preparation to serve as an elder. He's a former E-Free pastor, now retired, who has become even more covenantal, more reformed in his convictions. And he's really on track to serve there as an elder. So they're in a really good position. It's a growing congregation. Wow, there's really a need for the preaching of the gospel in southern Missouri. Oh, wait, there's a real need to preach the gospel in every part of Missouri, right? Now, we're kind of amazed. We were in St. Charles 3 weeks back, I think, so we've been in this area a little bit. But, we're always sort of amazed because, we're used to reading Mark Twain and you know, Hannibal, Missouri, and you know, it's like, isn't this like the end of the world or something down here? Well, no, it's really more developed than where we live, actually. So, but so many people, right? So many people who need to hear the gospel. Really, there's thousands and thousands who've never heard, actually never heard, a clear presentation of the gospel. Thousands and thousands. So you have a great opportunity here. And great opportunity, really, to plant more churches. Anyway, praise the Lord for what he's doing in West Plains, Missouri. We're very thankful for this. And as I said, that church will probably be particularized in the spring. So it's going to disappear from our brochure, too. So please pray, because we want to keep our brochure full. We'd like to go to 3 or 4 pages in the brochure, actually. So please pray that way. Andover, Minnesota, up here, the left-hand side here. Jim and Bonnie Hoekstra. Jim is a veteran church planter. He's worked at planting 3 churches. Church plants don't always work out. Sometimes the Lord has other plans, and a work starts, and then it closes. Well, Jim's had that experience before, but now he's up in Andover, south side or north side of Minneapolis, and the Lord is blessing the work there. And similarly, we think that church will probably particularize, or that mission work will probably particularize in the spring. So that means really it's going very well. And so pray for them, you know, pray for, and let me say this about our brochure, you know. I make these available so you all, these are your works, right? These are mission works of your presbytery. This is what, when you give to worldwide missions, when you give to presbytery home mission works, the checks committee, your gifts go to support the establishment of these works. So this is your project, right? Where you say, these are your projects. So be aware of that. And I seek to send this out. I update these every couple months. This is the most recent, of course. But my encouragement would be, what you might want to do is choose one of the mission works as a family or as an individual. Choose one of the mission works to pray for regularly. I also encourage you to email, communicate with a church planter. There's probably nothing more encouraging to a church planter to know that people are praying for them in their work. So consider that. You know, consider choosing one and praying for that work. So yeah, Andover, Minnesota, they'll probably particularize in the spring. So that's that side. Okay, sometimes mission works can be very difficult, and that's what you got on the outside of the brochure. The Lord does it in different ways all the time, and he does it in different time frames all the time. And he can do this in very interesting ways, but the way that he does it, nonetheless, the way that he does it is always the same in terms of what Christ uses to establish his church. So a man may go out, and he's an evangelist. He's seeking to get a mission work going in a particular area, and he's preaching faithfully, and the Lord doesn't give a lot of fruit. But he preaches faithfully, and only God can give the increase. But as ever, you know, if things go slowly, the temptation can be, try something different, you know? Hey, don't we need to, let's get snazzy and clever. Maybe that's how we'll get people in. Huh? Let's try some new method. And that's all, there's always that pressure. And of course, there's that pressure from the broader church for that. We don't want to succumb to that pressure. Again, because we're thinking long term here. This is serious. We want to see a church established in strength. And as I said, there's really not a fast way to do that. Making disciples, there's not a fast way to do that. It takes time. And it takes a lot of work. But it's a great joy to see what the Lord does. Ken and Crescent Golden, Rock Island, Illinois. And Ken has been seeking to get this church established for 10 years. They're in a sense, they're out of mission work status, in a sense, only because they're no longer receiving support from the denomination. There's a four-year period where you can receive support. There are others who are supporting, however, and the church is financially almost self-sustaining. But otherwise, technically, they're out of the mission work category. So all the more, challenge, I think, in that respect to see the church established. Pray for them. Ken is working full-time as a hospice chaplain. He's been doing that for a while now. So he's on top of his pastoral responsibilities. He's serving in hospice care as a chaplain, which gives, as you might understand, a lot of opportunities for the gospel, bringing the gospel. But very challenging. So pray for that work, that God might be pleased to see it really established in strength. Kendall, Wisconsin. Kim and Barb Kufas. This is a church that came out of the Ephraim. Small congregation, came out of the Ephraim denomination. And became a mission work of the OP in 2020. This is a mission work, too, that's had its challenges. So please remember to pray for them. Most mission works in their first year have a crisis. Most do. A crisis of some sort. And this is a mission work that had a crisis in its first year, all right? Really, they all do, but okay. Well, what happened here? Well, you had two elders who were part of that original E-Free congregation who were indicating that they're on board. In fact, they encouraged the congregation to come into the OPC. Well, one of the elders left. And he left for not good reasons, all right? But when he left, he took two or three families with him. So you got a small congregation already made smaller. and so that brings a lot of challenges. Monroe County OPC, it's out in a more rural farming area. So it's not like you got a big populace of people. But there's opportunity in the whole county to draw people in. So pray for Pastor Kim, that God would encourage him. Interestingly, in the providence of God, prior to being called as the pastor of this new work, in the providence of God, he was endeavoring to begin a mission work on the south side of Minneapolis. And they were going to initiate that work. Guess when they were going to initiate that work? March 2020. Exactly the same time that COVID hit. And of course, in Minnesota, things really locked down with COVID. So that was it. That was it. It wasn't going to go. they couldn't even meet. but in the providence of God, this opportunity came in Kendall, and so they called Kim to pastor that congregation, and they got a wonderful man in Kim Kufas, a very seasoned pastor. So praise the Lord for his provision for that congregation. I should say this as well. Given the challenges that they faced almost immediately, humanly speaking, Kim is the perfect man for the job. Which is to say, there were some inevitable challenges that were going to come because there were issues in the church that were not addressed previously, and they inevitably were going to come to the surface, and they have to be dealt with if you're going to lay a foundation. So that's kind of what happened there. So they got a good man, and praise the Lord for that provision. But pray. It's very challenging. Pray that the Lord would bless the work there. Covenant Life Presbyterian Church, every situation is unique. Gordon and Marjorie Oliver, they're in Shawano, Wisconsin. And that's how you say that. I used to think it was Shawano, but it's not. It's Shawano. Shawano, Wisconsin. Seeking to establish a work there. How's this particular work unique? It's unique because it borders the Menominee Indian Reservation in Wisconsin, and there are two other very old, very small OP congregations that are also in that area. There's the old Stockbridge Church, and there's the Menominee Church. Very small, and various men across the years have labored hard to seek to get something really established, solid in the Menominee, on the Menominee Reservation or Menominee area, and it's just been very, very slow work. Sometimes that's the way it is, and that's the way it's been in that area for some long time. So the question just now is: should these churches combine? as I say in the brochure, both the old Stockbridge Church and the Menominee Church have been without a pastor for almost 2 years now. And they're very small congregations. I mean, a handful of people left now. All right? So you get the picture. So there's the mission work, Covenant Life, and we're praying about bringing those three congregations together, the mission work together with those two other congregations, and establish, get something established in strength there in that area that God might bless it. Now, maybe I think it's important to say this. In all of these areas that we talk about, just as in this area, right? There are other churches, right? There are other churches. But a lot of churches have lost their way in terms of the priority of the gospel and the preaching of Christ. A lot of churches are simply entertainment centers, right? So when we talk about establishing a church, we mean establishing a church. We don't mean establishing an entertainment center. We don't mean establishing something where you have a concert every week. We mean establishing a true church. So, I mean, there are other churches up in that area, in the Menominee area, but they're very weak doctrinally, and some have entirely lost their way. It's kind of like saying to you folks, I wonder how many churches you passed on your way to church today, huh? Probably a few. A lot of PCAs around here, right, as I understand it. So why would you do this? Well, I think we can say for two reasons. Because there will never be enough churches. That's one reason. There will certainly never be enough churches who present robust gospel preaching, who are serious about the work of discipleship, who think covenantally, and which church will last for generations. I mean, the enemy's always working. Here's another reason, right? The enemy's always attacking the church. Always. He works on churches for years to water them down, to take them away from the Word of God. Look what's happened in the PCUSA. That's exactly what happened. You know the story, right? OPC was formed in 1936. Why was the OPC formed? Primary reason was the drift toward liberalism. Machen said, there's an abandonment of the gospel going on here. And all the people, the people generally said, no, you're overreacting. No. Well, Dr. Machen knew what he was talking about. So today, PCUSA, I'm sure there are PCUSA congregations around here, right? I live in Illinois. There are PCUSA congregations dotted all over the state. Almost every older town, there are PCUSA congregations. But they're shrinking, they're dwindling, they're dying, right? PCUSA loses almost 750,000 members a year. Why? They haven't figured it out. I mean, some have figured it out and they leave, right? My point, the enemy is always working to, and he works long term. He works overtime. He's always working to take the church away from the Word of God. So PCUSA is a great negative example, isn't it? Of the enemy's work. They would still say they believe the Bible. I don't know if they'd say they believe it. Yeah, I guess they'd say they believe it. They'd still say, Westminster Standards are still a part of our book of doctrine, right? Well, you know what? In the PCUSA, am I being negative here? I hope not. I mean, you gotta call these things out, right? Westminster Standards are just a museum piece. And the Bible is just a museum piece. That's all it is. So it's an issue of belief and unbelief. That's the great divide here. And that's why the PCUSA is shrinking, shrinking, dying, dying, dying. Because if you abandon the gospel, look, you abandon the gospel, you're done. You might still have a shell of a building. You might still have a community center. You might still have a gathering of people who are loyal to the old days or whatever, but you don't have a church anymore. It's not a church. So, okay, there's the big negative example. This is why we care about these things. This is why we want to plant more churches. Hey, this is a big area here, right? I mean, St. Louis area? Wow, but you see, there are already all kinds of churches. We need more, okay? We need more gospel preaching, faithful congregations where people are hungry for the Word of God and they love to come to the worship and they love the fellowship of the saints and they want their children and their grandchildren's lives to center in what's happening here. We're going to talk about it more in the sermon in a little bit, okay? I mean, why do we do this? The short answer and the big answer is the reason we do this is because Jesus Christ is here. That's why. He's here. As we gather for worship this morning, the living Christ is present with us. Now, you get that by faith, right? But it's really the case. So it isn't just a gathering of people, you know, who happen to believe the same thing. I mean, it is that. But it's so much more than that. But you can only get it by faith. You can only see it by faith. So, any questions anybody has? Yes. Remind me of your name. Yes, Dean.
I like your example about the theater.
Yeah.
And do you think Paul would be doing open air preaching and preaching in the synagogue? Those are the things that I think of him doing. Should we be preaching in synagogues and doing open air preaching today?
That's a very good question. Yeah, and I when I do an expanded presentation on this, I actually go into Acts 20 and Paul's what we could properly call the apostolic strategy for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But you see with the Apostle Paul, both of those things that you mentioned, of course, his basic plan was he'd go into a town or he'd go into a municipality and he'd go to the synagogue, right? And this is what he did in Ephesus, as he recounts it in Acts chapter 20. He went to the synagogue and he presented Christ. He preached Christ in the synagogue for many weeks. And then they kicked him out, right? So he had, interestingly, in that day where the Lord purposed, I mean, you got the center of history there where Christ comes into the world, the gospel is going to go out to the nations, and providentially, it's as if the Lord had already arranged this where there's synagogues all over the place. So Paul had rather a natural base of operation where he could go into a synagogue where people understood. I mean, this is a crucial part of it, I think. They knew the Old Testament, all right? So you could argue, well, do we still have that natural base of operations today? Not so much, I don't think. And not to mention that if you're a Christian minister, you're not going to get invited into a synagogue to preach, right? That's not going to happen. But for Paul, in that day, in that time, providentially, it was what God had arranged where he could bring the gospel. So that was his common practice. Go into a city, go to the synagogue, preach Christ, get kicked out, you know. And those who believed, he'd draw with them. So what did he do in Ephesus? What does he do? Those who believe, they gather with him, and he engages in intensive training in the school of Tyrannus for the space of 2.5 years. What's he doing? He's discipling there. That's what he's doing. That's what he did, and those he trained, that's what they did in every place. But he continued to preach the gospel as well, didn't he? You could say he continued to seek other possible bases of operation where he could bring gospel presentation. So I think, yeah, there's certainly an argument for open-air preaching. I think the challenge in our culture would be where do you have that kind of setting? I think my thought is that that's hard to find, but we need to be creative about it. I think it's hard to find. One of the reasons for that is that... I mean, culture's changed so much, hasn't it? But one of the reasons for that, I think, is this, that people are not used to listening to somebody speak for more than 5 minutes, right? What are they doing? They're on their phone, right? Or they're on their screen, yeah? So this is a challenge culturally, but Christ still builds his church the same way, right? I mean, it's, what's preaching? What is preaching, biblical preaching? It's sustained logical discourse from the Scriptures. Now, that becomes a challenge culturally, right? Because, I mean, aren't we a screen-oriented people now, you know? Going to a restaurant, you've seen this. Going to a restaurant, we see this all the time. There's families sitting around. They're all looking at their phones. Great family time, right? They're all looking at their phones. And we have a whole generation that's grown up on screen time. It's interesting that, oh, I'm going to start preaching now again. It's interesting that tech people understand, sometimes better than Christians, they understand very well the problem with prolonged screen time. In the main, I mean, it's a generalization, but I think it's true. They will not allow their children to be on the screen for a prolonged time. Because they're concerned, they're not just concerned about the content. They're concerned about the medium and the effect of the medium, right? So, how did I get there? challenges culturally in terms of preaching the gospel. So I think, Daniel, I think it's true. We need to look earnestly for viable open-air kinds of situations, right, where you can preach the gospel. Bruce, yeah.
So our church used to go to the abortion mill down in St. Louis, and in a small scale, we were telling people going in the gospel.
Yeah.
It was hard to do because we were shouting, and shouting is hard to convey gentleness.
Yes.
We did try.
Yeah.
My son in Atlanta now, with his church, actually has electronic equipment that amplifies the message. They're actually preaching to the people going in and also to the Roman Catholics who are gathered there who want to say they have the same message, but they don't.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, another way, and you all probably done it this way too. I mean, because I think another way that, sort of on a smaller scale again, that can work very well is where you have a church gathering where you invite. I mean, every year at New Covenant, this is another idea. Every year at New Covenant, we'd have a Friends and Family Sunday, where we'd invite into the worship friends and family, and it was pretty well attended actually. And it was an opportunity. I mean, we weren't, you know, pulling any punches here. You know, we want you to come to worship, and you don't have to sing. You know, it'll seem weird to you, but we want you to hear this message, all right? And some would come, and some would hear the message, or you can think of a church gathering where you just invite. Otherwise, you invite friends and family, neighbors, acquaintances, and you have a gospel presentation in your gathering. I mean, generally, that won't yield a lot of people coming, but it yields some. And it's an opportunity to bring the gospel, isn't it? So I think we have to be creative, and creative, I think, from the standpoint that we don't have the synagogue base like Paul did in his day. We don't have that. And I think other sorts of public venues have sort of shrunk in our day in terms of that sort of opportunity. You know, we don't have Mars Hill. Well, Mars Hill's gone, right? Okay. We don't have, you know what I mean by, you know what I mean by that. So we need to be creative. Sue? Yeah. Yeah, Boardwalk Chapel, of course, which is the one of the OP, broadly, one of the OP outreaches. They can preach right on the boardwalk, people going by, you know, they're preaching, and they seek to bring people into that setting. So we pray, right? We need to be bold. So we got to stop, don't we? Let me pray and close, okay? I'll do that, Bruce. Thanks. Father, we come to you now and thank you for the Great Commission. We thank you for your purpose to bless, to build your church. And even now, as we look toward worship, we pray you would meet us and strengthen us. We ask it for the glory of Christ. Amen. All right. Thank you. Sure. Much.